W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The largest cranes on the East Coast are arriving in Baltimore, where they will be helping out to lift large chunks of the Francis Scott Key Bridge out of the river below. The removal and rebuilding process will be a long one, says ABC's Perry Russum, who has more from Baltimore.
When asked for a timeline on removing the wreck, the governor did not have an answer, saying it's a complicated process. The Department of Homeland Security is using an estimate that shows this entire collapse could cost up to $4 billion.
Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama all taking the stage at Radio City Music Hall last night in a fundraiser for the president. It brought in a record-breaking $25 million. Former President Donald Trump was also in New York on Thursday at the wake for a slain New York City police officer. Nine people have been detained in Russia over suspected contact with the perpetrators of last week's attack on that suburban Moscow concert hall. And today marks 1 year in Russian detention for Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. This is ABC News. Funeral today in Stamford, Connecticut for late Senator Joe Lieberman, one of the founders of the centrist No Labels organization. In a setback to No Labels this week, we learned that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie decided not to run against Donald Trump on a third-party unity ticket. ABC News political director Rick Klein has more.
His team, I'm told, did some polling in more than a dozen states and ran the numbers and ran the math and ultimately concluded that, first, they're not sure that No Labels can actually get on the ballot enough places to make a difference, and you'd have to win in so many states, 20, 25 states, that it's almost an impossible climb. And in their estimation, the only thing a No Labels candidate would do would be contribute to Donald Trump's election again. And that's exactly what Chris Christie said he wouldn't do.
Japan's government has recalled an over-the-counter anti-cholesterol supplement after five people who took it died and more than 100 were hospitalized. Japan's health ministry has recalled the supplement but warns some products may have been exported before the recall. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police in Rockford, Illinois are sharing more about four people who were stabbed to death Wednesday afternoon.
A 15-year-old girl, a 63-year-old woman, a 49-year-old man, and a 22-year-old man. Seven other people were injured, and Rockford's police chief says one of those is in critical condition.
Reporter Mark Remillard says one of the victims was a letter carrier for the post office. We still don't know the suspect's motive. Wildlife officials have found a dozen new viruses in Wisconsin fish, including a type of coronavirus found in walleyes. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources tests sport fish from time to time. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin say the fish coronavirus is a close cousin to a virus that kills birds. Scientists say people cannot get it. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Pelicans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a loss on the road, 107-100 to New Orleans. Doc Rivers says the Pelicans, led by Zion Williamson, are a tough physical team.
Give them credit. They're a big forced turnover team. They're a big offensive rebounding team. I thought the offensive rebounds came from dribble penetration. Guy drives, you see in your big, it allows Valanciunas and the other guys on the glass. I thought we did a better job in the third quarter of cleaning that up. We took care of the ball in the third quarter, got it down to what, four? or five, then we have three turnovers in a row, and bam, it goes right back to 10.
March Madness, Marquette takes on NC State in the Sweet 16 in Dallas. Cam Jones on facing NC State's power forward, 6'9", 275-pound DJ Burns tonight.
Yeah, we definitely know, you know, NC State, you know, the type of team they are, a tough team they are, a good team they are. We know what, like you said, what Burns brings, and we're not going to change nothing that we do.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to near 50 by this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some scattered rain. We could get 1 to 2 tenths of an inch tonight. Low of 31. Could see a little snow mix in at times late tonight. Tomorrow, showers in the morning, then cloudy. 46 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Hey everybody, Todd Lobo, Friday noon to 2, talking to Brady Ewing and the Week in Review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All right, let's do it. It's your final shot on Mino and the Mayor to get qualified in the Ride into Spring Text in to Win statewide contest for a shot to win a Chula Vista getaway. And those great grand prizes, too, that bike, that 3-in-1 blender, that patio love seat. What you want to do is download the Civic Media app if you haven't done so already. Do that wherever you get your apps. Choose the station, WGBW or WISS. Lower right-hand corner, text this word in to win. Text the keyword WARM, W-A-R-M. This hour's keyword is WARM, and your next shot to play along after 10 o'clock with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair on Air. This hour's keyword is WARM. Good luck. Your chance to win with Civic Media, Mino and the Mayor, and WGBW and WISS. Now back to Mino and the Mayor with John Mino and this hour's host, Len Nelson.
Wait, can I do my password thing first?
Do it, yeah.
The keyword is warm.
I always wanted that job. Too.
I wanted that job. Yeah. Len?
That'd be the greatest job. Ever. The Johnny Olsen guy.
Yes.
On Johnny. The game
yes.
Show, you know, where you say like 15 words and get paid for
a lot of money.
Good money.
That's
yeah.
Going to be our job. The only thing better would be like a sports athletic trainer type thing.
Yeah.
Right, Mark Houston?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I'm going somewhere warm. I'm leaving here in about 10 minutes for Phoenix.
Nice. What are you doing out there?
Vacation. My son's got a late spring break vacation, so we are headed to Phoenix for 5 days and Denver for four.
Nice. You know, I went to Arizona State, so if you go on campus, would you buy me a t-shirt?
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Mark. All right. Appreciate it.
You don't have people in administration who can send you stuff?
No, they all got run out of there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had a lot of problems.
Well, because they let you in.
Exactly. Paid under the table. Mark Houston, Balanced Sports Medicine. Mark, you know, you and I were talking a little bit back and forth about how these guys get these seemingly serious injuries, and sports medicine are bringing them back. And the number one guy on Len and I were just talking about that great guard for Marquette who had an oblique injury.
Tyler Kolek.
And I know guys for the Packers who are out like 3 weeks or a month with oblique injuries, and that kid looks as good as new in about 10 days. How do they do that, Mark? I mean, he even talked about the first day he went back to class. He couldn't even get out of his chair. People had to help him out of his chair, and now he's driving and scoring, and that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, you know, John, you and I were talking about this, and last week we talked about how to become an athletic trainer, and what we do a lot for high schools, and that is one thing. I think our staff does an amazing job of getting even high school athletes back, but we have to sometimes remember, and what people don't see is, in fact, I know their head athletic trainer at Marquette, and he got the job midway through the year because the other guy took a job in Nebraska, and, you know, he's doing a great job. He's thrown to the mix, and, yeah, it's you know what it is? It's care that's done. Sun up, sun down, throughout the day, 24/7. You know, there's just different rehab that can be done at home. There's stuff that he's coming and maybe in the training room in the morning, midday, after practice, maybe in the evening. There's just a lot of different just techniques, and there's machines, and there's a lot of things that if you put it all together and you spend the time to do it, your body's probably going to respond to it and help you out. Now, like you said, though, when people talk about oblique injuries, you talk about a baseball pitcher. Yeah, oblique injuries may be a month or two.
Yeah.
What,
you
know, I mean,
what is
just
an oblique?
Stomach muscle, I guess, right?
Yeah, on the side,
yeah,
right?
I don't know if I've got that.
Well, I tell people you never know what they are until you end up injuring them. And so what it is these muscles kind of go on an angle. And so there's internal obliques and external obliques. So it's just a matter of which way they go, a little bit more inside towards the chest cavity or outside. You know how it is. I tell people I broke ribs, I don't know, 20 years ago. And it was a simple thing. I was moving and, you know, I broke one or two ribs. Bad enough, but it's those muscles that then every little movement for sitting up, for bending over, for breathing, you feel those muscles every single time. And that's why they hurt so much.
And then imagine an athlete going through
that's
that,
I mean.
And all they do is move.
And taking an elbow in that
area?
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you make a good point, though, that those guys, professional athletes in particular, that's their job. They don't really have anything else to do, so they can commit all day long to all those
correct
appointments and keep those things. Whereas somebody like us who, you know, if you have a 9-to-5, you're maybe you're doing your rehab or your therapeutic
couple
stuff
hours after
here and there. And so, yeah, it's going to take a lot longer.
The other thing I tell people we have to remember is, so in the general world, your insurance is not going to have you getting paid to go and get rehab four or five times a day. Where if you're in the, you know, a lot of times in that private setting with the colleges. So they're trying to keep that team in the NCAA tournament as much as possible. You know, and we have to go back. You know, John, you talked about it. When he initially got injured, you know, there was a question of, oh, my Lord, he's not going to play in his conference
right
tournament. Do they need him? You know, I mean, and if he can't go effectively and you don't need him, then why play?
Yeah, I think they said he could have maybe played
right
in that championship game of the Big East tournament against UConn, but yeah,
better, I mean, they knew they were getting
better,
in.
Better to save them for the big tourney, yeah.
Absolutely. If they were on the fence about getting in, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, it goes back to where, you know, but, you know, athletic trainers around, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in the high school setting. We have people that will get, you know, John, you and I have seen it. I still remember sitting there watching Kakana actually in their last game. You know, their quarterback came out and got injured, I think, the first quarter, and we're thinking, there's no way this kid's going to play again. And, you know, some people may say, oh, what was he doing out there? He should have never gone back out there. The athletic trainers on the sidelines put them, you know, assess it, and then they figure out what's going on. And then they say, okay, is this safe for the person to play? Now, the person may be a little bit gimpy, or they may not be moving perfectly, but is it safe for them to play? And then that's what they do, is they do some testing and movement and cutting and say, okay, we think they can safely play. Now, you have to kind of assess it. If you're losing by 30 and the person's not moving real good, well, what's the point of having the person out there? But if you can safely put someone out there, I would trust many athletic trainers, because they know your sons and daughters. Doesn't matter if you're in the high school setting, the college setting, the pro setting.
I remember that plain as day, exactly what you're talking about. But the other thing I remember about is the pain I was in that night. Do you remember why, Mark?
Yeah, because you barely could make it up the stairs.
I couldn't find the bat in the men's room, remember?
Well, yeah, because
that's a different kind of injury.
Just, I had to pee so bad.
Because John was going to the wrong bathroom.
And I went across the street. It turned out it was the locker. I said, the bathrooms are closed. I got to leak so bad. And Mark goes, oh, I just came back. It's over there. And it was right by the thing.
No, man.
But then it was too late. I had to run up the stairs and the whole thing. And it was like that whole night. You know, a cold night when you really got it? Yeah, so that was my night. That's what I remember best about that night, Mark. Not the greatest memory in the world.
I said those memories are lasting for you, I guess, John.
You know, Mark, I have a question for you, because, you know, back in the day, and I even hear it now and again, a guy gets injured and you're watching your favorite team, and you'll say, they'll just take him to the locker room and shoot him up. They'll shoot him up.
Oh, yeah.
Is that actually a thing?
It used to be.
I think it used to be, but I mean, it seems to me that we've kind of gone away with that, where you just pump the guy full of something and send him back out there. Yeah.
Yeah. So people have asked that to me about, you know, I would ask that question. It doesn't happen in high school setting. It doesn't, at least not around in our area. It's just most of the time it just doesn't happen. It's, you know, you have to kind of assess it, saying, is this too much? Does it happen maybe sometimes in the college setting and definitely in the pros? It does, but there's definitely, you know, it's just not a yes or no question or answer. You have to really assess, hey, what's going on? Where is it being done? What are the risks of still injecting? Once you break that skin, you always risk of, you know, an infection. I think it wasn't it Jerome Bettis, maybe a conference playoff game. This probably goes back 25 years. and I believe they got the nerve and
oh, no.
couldn't feel anything. You know, it's going to, in time, it's going to just wear off and he'll be fine. But again, when it's going numb and you're going to play here in 10 minutes, guess what? You're not going to be able to play. So that's the risk. You know, I mean, you're not perfect with these when you inject. So have they happened? They have definitely happened. Does it happen a ton? I honestly, I'm not in a pro setting, but I can't think that it's happening every night.
Well, you know,
it doesn't happen.
I read a thing on Joe Namath, and he used to get shut up a lot of times for his knees at halftime. And in retrospect, that really compounded his injuries
Sure. Because
it was getting injured more, but he didn't feel it. And then on like Tuesday or Wednesday, it's like, oh my God, my knee is horrific. And it was because they shot him up with painkillers during the game.
Yeah. And that's why it's not about just trying to numb the pain and just so he doesn't feel it. You know, it's all that other rehab that maybe you do on the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday. There are, you know, electronic stim units. There are, there's just, you know, cupping techniques. Now there are Graston techniques. There are so many different things that you can use for rehab. The rehabilitation game, in fact, there are so many people that are like directors of rehab, and they can, it's like a playground. They have so much to use that it's not just a quick, oh, we'll just wait till the game time and they'll shoot them up. Did it happen? I think it did. There are some teams that probably used it more than others. It's just not probably where we go for the first, hey, let's just shoot them up. There's just so many other opportunities. Again, you got to be careful.
And I think that's one of the reasons we've both been at NFL Packer alumni games. When some of those guys from the 50s come walking out and they almost look like war wounded.
Sure.
I think part of that is because of those days. Don't you think, Mark?
No, I mean, you know, what they had back then for opportunities for rehab and what they have now is completely different. You know, and I think players also have a say in things now, you know, and
yeah.
It's the same thing of like some people in high school say, well, the coach really wants them to play. Well, guess what? The kids under is one, they're not 18, and two, mom and dad have a say. Now, sometimes moms and dads say, well, can we shoot them up? It's like, no, it's not the best thing to do it. You know, it's like, this is not safe for them to play. So that's what ultimately we need to say. Is it safe for them to be on the field, the court, the pitch, whatever? Is it safe for them to be out there? If it's safe for them to be out there, okay, what can we do to help rehab them? If it's not, they're going to still rehab them. You know, there may be future games that are coming along. You still have to rehab them. Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the how much are you putting in, and it's tough because some of these guys are playing what? If they played Thursday night, they're playing Saturday.
Yeah.
So literally when they go back, if they win their game Thursday night, they're doing rehab that night back in their hotel room, and they're getting up in the next day. They're doing rehab on Friday morning and midday and afternoon and evening, and then they're doing the same thing on Saturday and hoping to have that person ready for a Saturday to play. How they play, sometimes it's up to them.
Here's a non-scientific question for you, a quick one. What about the old theory of just rubbing some dirt in it? Just rub some dirt in it.
We probably all say it. Not recommended, Mark? Yeah, I mean, even nowadays, there's questions of, do you use ice? Now that's being questioned. You know, I mean, how many people say, just slap a bag of ice and you'll be fine? Now some people are saying, no, don't put ice on it. So, you know, every year we get better, we learn, and we try to figure out what works for that person.
Well,
what body part are we treating?
It's a good thing we have guys like you doing it.
Absolutely. Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine, get out of here. Get to Arizona. Buy me an extra large shirt. But I think by the time we have our big My Burpee competition, it'll be down to like a medium.
Sure. Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you, Mark Houston. Have a great vacation, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy. Travel safe.
See ya.
All right, we got Len Nelson in the house. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Get 0% interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I'm Gina Della from Pella. Pella's free in-home consultations make replacing or redesigning your windows and doors easy. We go beyond just measuring and handing you a quote by listening and educating you on all of your product options. And with DesignWorks, you can see what your home will look like before you buy. Order by March 31st, you get 0% interest for up to 3 years. Set your free consultation at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mine and the Mayor Show. The Mayor will be back on Monday.
Where is the Mayor?
The Mayor is in Riviera Maya.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple times.
You guys had some fun trips down there in the day, didn't you?
Sure.
Absolutely. Len Nelson, our very special co-host, coming up at 7:34. Vietnam veteran Rich Kirk will be joining us. Christy and Dennis Peters and Eric and the whole gang, along with a great young band named Decades. And Len, you're going to help run that show here today. Is that all right?
Oh, I thought Todd was the producer.
No.
What? You brought me here to work?
Absolutely. You have been... seriously, one of the biggest advocates for local musicians in Northeast Wisconsin of all time. That's just kind of a passion of yours because you were in music. I mean, you've been an accordion player and everything, but
yeah.
That has been such a big part of your life that you have to be proud of what you've done to put some of these local musicians in the spotlight.
Yeah, you know, like 40 years of radio, whatever. I think that is that's the part I enjoy the most.
I believe it.
First of all, I mean, it starts with there's so much talent around here.
Yeah.
And, in the music business, there's not a lot of opportunities to get your product out there. The record industry is completely different than it used to be. It's not like there's guys going out and signing bands, after seeing him in a bar and then suddenly they got a record deal and you can hear him.
Like in that thing you do where the guy signs him what do you have, a trailer or something? Mm-hmm. Or camper.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a guy here in a really nice camper. I'm signing, you're signing, everybody's signing.
It just doesn't work that way anymore. But so giving them an opportunity, and plus I like the music for one thing. But if you're a musician and you're coming up at any point, there's nothing more thrilling than to hear your music on the radio.
Oh, I can imagine.
So I always just love that, and then to hear the stories about how the whole band got together, or they're at home and their mom and dad hear it, give them a call, and that. So I get a thrill out of that, and
But you actually tell me about some of the different events you've done that you've been a part of over the last year.
Oh, with the bands?
Yeah.
Well, I play in a band called Steam with Steve Marsh-Torme and Michael Bailey from Vic Ferrari. We've been on the show.
Yeah,
here,
absolutely.
Talking about stuff, and that's a collection of just insanely good musicians. I don't know. I real honestly don't know why they. I keep thinking I'm getting the call.
They have to have some eye candy. Everybody has to have that eye candy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get that call and say, we found somebody who can play glockenspiel better than you can.
Hasn't happened yet.
Not yet, but so I'm in that, and I get to play with Symphony on the Rocks, the symphonic rock show that Vic Ferrari
did that out here at the Meyer.
15, 20 years ago, whatever, and they invited me. First, it started with just coming in and playing on Billy Joel's Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Oh,
he did an accordion part.
One of the greatest songs of all time.
So, and then kind of liked it. They kind of liked me, so we just hang out. So that's been really fun because I had a band when I was a kid.
Did you? I didn't know that.
Well, I learned to play accordion when I was 7. And
wow.
By the time I was 11, 12 years old, I was getting paid to play. So cool.
I never knew that.
I had a polka band, and I put myself through college doing that. That was my beer money. I'd go back to Minnesota from Eau Claire and do a gig once a month or so, and that's how I made money. And then after I got into radio later, I kind of let it go, and I hadn't played for 20, 25 years or so until the guy said, "Hey, you play accordion, don't you?" Well, yeah, I can. I think I could find it somewhere in the attic or whatever, and I hauled it out, and I'm back, baby.
That's fantastic. You were 7 years. How did you even hold an accordion at 7 years
old? It's a very small accordion.
Oh.
Yeah, a little 12 bass accordion, like a normal size is 120.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
And I graduated to playing a ladies accordion because back then when we were growing up, lots of girls played accordion, way more than guys. And so it was kind of a mid-sized. I still have it as a beautiful accordion, but I can't play it anymore because my fingers are too fat because the keys are a little bit thinner.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, and then I bought a 1961 Cordovox system, which is kind of a combination accordion organ deal. You could do all kinds of fun. It has a fake Leslie speaker, like a big Hammond B3 organ would be, you know? And my dad invested in that. I think it cost me $1,500 for that whole system. And that then we kind of took off from there. And
So your dad was a musician too?
My dad was not. But he was very supportive.
Okay.
Although the accordion that I play most is my dad's accordion. He could play like 5 or 6 songs. I don't know the whole story, but he got it from some guy probably to pay off a bet or something. I don't know what the deal was, but that's the one I use now because it's a great accordion. And so it's kind of fun. My dad's gone. So I, when I play, it's kind of a little piece of him, but I have 9 or 10 accordions now. And people are always coming up to me. If you play accordion, you will get offers coming out of the woodwork from everybody. I found this accordion. I got this accordion. With my mom had this accordion. Do you want it? Do you want to buy it? I'd love to buy it, but I value my marriage more than having another accordion. So the wife's always, can't we find a place for those? Yeah, if we put an addition on the house, we can find a place for them.
Got a text here. Len, I saw Steve March Torme at August Haven yesterday. He hosted a bluegrass band called Gentlemen Grifters.
Those guys are great. Yeah. That's kind of a cool series that they do at August. It's in a furniture store. So they built a stage there, and you go out there, and you're sitting in brand new furniture and beautiful tables and listening to music. It's kind of a cool thing.
Well, very cool. How fun is that when you hear young musicians? Like, we got some kids coming in today. They're 13, 14, 15 years old, and this could be their first gig tonight at Epic.
Wow.
How much fun is it
they get to be on the radio on the day of their very first? I hate these kids.
I know, right?
No, I'm kidding. It's going to be a thrill for them, and it's thrilling to see them. And I think because kids are exposed to so much more media
than we did growing up, we had nothing.
So we kind of had a shared experience where we all saw the same few bands and we all sounded the same.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we were copying the guys we saw. Now, the pantheon of music is just so wide and so varied. And so you'll hear kids coming up doing things. You're going, how do you even know this stuff?
Yeah.
And because they have access to it, and it's great. One of the guys in our band, Michael Murphy, young guitar player. I think he's 21 now, 22. But he'll go, hey, he's doing a show with Steve March Torme called Tumbleweed Reconnection, where they do the Tumbleweed Connection album from 1970.
That's awesome.
And I was talking to Steve the other day, and he's going, how do you know that album?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know?
Yeah.
And because maybe their parents had it, but
need the album. You just download everything now.
Yeah,
so
sure, yeah.
It's so much easier access. Remember back in the days when you'd go to that buddy's house and he's got like 500 albums on a bookcase?
I'm that buddy.
You're that guy. The worst thing is, though, when you have people over, I think Saturday Night Live did a thing on that one time, and you have guys over and you want everybody to leave. It's like, oh man, look at this album. I didn't know you had the so-and-so. We got to play some of that. Those guys.
Well, when you take out David Gates and Bread, and they'll leave pretty quickly.
I found her diary underneath the tree.
Yeah, gets them out quick.
I bought that album in 1973.
Well, okay? that was the one you put on at the end of the party when you wanted everybody would hook up. Right? It
worked. Or leave, like the mayor at his Christmas party. Everybody
out! Mayor at his Christmas party. Yes, yeah, same type
the
guy, of thing.
The guys who weren't hooking up with somebody, they were out the door.
They were
gone.
Of us, that's a good point. I like that. Len and I are exactly...
There it is. You want to make out, John?
Oh boy. Well, Len, it was great having you here. Len Nelson, our very special guest. When we come back, Rich Karki, a Vietnam vet. You got to hear his story.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's really something. And then we got the musical segment coming up. So stay with us, folks. It's going to be fun. Back after this.
The words she'd written took me by surprise. You'd never read them in her eyes. They said that she had found the love she'd waited for. Wouldn't you know it? She wouldn't show it. Then she confronted with her writing. Simply pretended not to care. I passed it off as just in keeping with.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Frustration continues to grow in Wisconsin's dairy sector. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Wisconsin's milk price is at a discount again in the month of February compared to the 24 major dairy-producing states. Why? Because our milk primarily goes towards cheese. And according to Bryce Windecker, dairy analyst with EverAg, right now cheese just isn't moving.
Yeah, it's been really frustrating. I mean, we've been the cheapest cheese price the past 6 or 7 months now and continue to just see it not get any support. I mean, we see a lot of interest in buying at traders at about that 140 being bottom of the barrel prices right now. The fact of the matter is we've just got so much cheese in storage that the negative milk production reports just aren't going to matter until that starts to turn into less cheese.
Bryce Windecker, dairy analyst with EverAg. The February milk price announced by the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service came in at $19 a hundredweight. That was a dollar above the January pay price, but $1.40 below February a year ago price. The other hard part, Wisconsin's milk price discounted compared to the 24 major dairy-producing states by $1.60 a hundredweight. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Friday morning after yesterday's prospective plantings report, a little bit mixed. Numbers are next.
One of the most common questions farmers ask is, why don't we see commercials about Wisconsin dairy products on TV anymore? Suzanne Fanning, Chief Marketing Officer for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, has the answer and shares more on just how they're using your checkoff dollars.
We are very careful about how we send those farmer dollars. We don't want to be preaching to the choir, so we don't need to tell that story right here. And also, years ago, you didn't have the opportunity as a marketer to define your audience and say, I'm looking for people who are specifically interested in cheese, who have a specific income, for people of a certain age group, a specific household. So now we have such sophisticated targeting that we can do on social and with our digital advertising. We also have opportunities within search engine optimization. There are so many things that we can do, and marketing is so much more sophisticated than just buying a commercial on TV. We can spend money so much more wisely.
That was Suzanne Fanning, Chief Marketing Officer of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. To learn more, check out wisconsindairy.org.
Markets are idle on this Good Friday. They'll be back to business on Monday. Yesterday, December corn closed 15 and a half cents higher at 477 and three quarters. November beans up 2 3/4 at 1186 and a quarter. The July wheat was up 13 cents at 575 and three quarters. The barrel cheese in Chicago gained 0.75 cents to 142 3/4. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 141 3/4. Double-A butter up a quarter, 284 1/4 per pound. I'm Pam Yonke.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to near 50 by this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some scattered rain. We could get 1 to 2/10 of an inch tonight, low of 31. Could see a little snow mix in at times late tonight. Tomorrow, showers in the morning, then cloudy. 46 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections, you restrict the hours, you restrict early voting, you intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
this part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. A very special guest, Len Nelson, joining us today. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you've been waiting to replace broken windows and doors, you want to revitalize your home with a new look, now's the time to get it done. Because from now until March 31st, which is really close, you can get zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You got to give them a call. They'll come on and give you a free consultation. Just give them a call or check them out. PellaWI.com. PellaWI.com. They are truly amazing. Well, as we mentioned at the top of the show, today is Vietnam Veterans Day. Len, I know you've been a very big advocate of our Vietnam veterans. I know it's very near and dear to your heart as well. And I've got a great friend coming on right now. His name is Rich Karki. Rich, my friend, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Great to talk to you. Happy Vietnam Veterans Day.
Oh, thank you very much. Also, it's Good Friday. Isn't that coincidental?
That's apropos, isn't it?
It is.
Well, Rich, talk about just a little bit of your background. You joined the United States Marine Corps. You wanted to fight for your country. And when they dropped you off in Vietnam, they literally dropped you off pretty much in the middle of a very tough battle, didn't they? Like right when you got off the helicopter, you were thrown into the bleep, weren't you?
There was a firefight the day I got dropped off and flew in, and I was like, oh, shit.
Well, okay, let's not use that word. Okay, well, go ahead.
I'm like, damn, this is real now. And, yeah, that's how it started.
Yeah. Now, what was it like when you were there? I mean, you know, everybody thinks they're going to know what they're going to be like when they're in battle. What was it like for you? You're a young kid from Nagani, Michigan, and you're in the middle of that. What was going through your mind?
Well, you know, we're scared. You know, if someone tells you you weren't scared, well, that's not true. But all you want to do is try to stay alive to get home. And as time went on in Vietnam, your thoughts change. But it was a tough war.
There's no way to really normalize that sort of situation, right? I mean, even if you have been there for a while
and
every day is kind of the same, still that that never really gets normal. It shouldn't, because human beings shouldn't have to deal with that kind of thing. But you have to come up with some sort of coping mechanism, don't you, to kind of get through each and every day?
Right. Well, I it's hard to explain to somebody that hasn't been there, because it's like, you don't want to survive, but yet it sounds weird. After a while, you didn't care if you survived or not. It was just another day.
Well, you lost so many people, Rich, around. Tell the story about the young kid who just arrived and he was like in front of you on patrol.
Oh, one night we were on a late patrol and it was a company size, and we were going down a dike. And it was like we had a little L shape going on. And next thing I knew, there was a shot fired. And this guy, he dropped it right down in front of me, right into the rice paddies. And I went down there to help him. And he didn't make it. I don't want to go into the specifics about it, but he died in my arms. So, yeah, it was tough.
That's a hard wake up for somebody who, you know, I mean,
at what, 19?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, 19, yeah.
Wow. So, Rich.
Yeah, I
go ahead.
I remember coming home, and it was like you're not the same person anymore. Yeah, I was medevac to Chicago, and my mother came to get me, and it's like she didn't recognize me anymore. You know.
Well, you were wounded pretty severely, too. Can you talk about that?
Well, I was, we're on patrol. I was a squad leader at the time. I had walked point for most of my time in Vietnam. And I was directing people what to do, frag hooches and stuff. We made sure nobody was in there, but that was our duty to do. So we did that. And I was explaining to somebody what to do. And I felt a little tug on my boot, and I turned around quick, and I told a guy I thought I, and that's all I got out of my mouth, and I tripped a line on mine, and next thing you know, I was in the air, and then I was on a chopper headed back to triage.
How long did you actually serve? How long were you in the theater itself?
I was in Vietnam for February to November. So it was like 10 months.
Is that a, so was, is that a kind of a, was that sort of a normal tour for that time?
I
mean,
think
obviously
we had a
30, you got out
a
with the injury.
A 13-month tour was normal.
Okay.
But a lot of guys didn't make it 13 months from your unit, did they?
No, no, a lot of guys didn't. We had some situations that weren't good. We had one time we were out on patrol again. I was walking point, and we had this Vietnamese was on a dike, and one of my friends was kind of giving him a hard time, and I told him just leave the guy alone. So we left. Well, that same day we came back the same way that we had gone, and normally we didn't do that, but for some reason that day I did, and we seen his Vietnamese hat on an ammo can sitting on a dike, and this friend of mine said that he was going to go and check it out. I said, why don't we just shoot at it from here and just not worry about it? But he went up there anyway, and it blew up in front of him, and we picked him up in pieces, put him in a poncho liner, and then we had helicopters came in, and the guys came out of there to help load him on, and they tripped another mine. By the time it was all over, there was three mines that went off, and the guys that came out of the helicopter were wounded, and it was a bad situation. I don't want to tell you all the details because it was kind of rough.
You know, Rich, I think the way the wars are fought now is a lot different than the way it was fought back when you were serving. It's a lot more remote, a lot more computerized, run by, you know, you're sending in drones and things like that. I don't know if a lot of people nowadays really understand the horror of war and what it was really like. But for you guys, it was daily. I mean, in the trenches like that, hand-to-hand combat, those sorts of things. And war has really changed a lot since then. I'm sure you watch the news, you know what it's like. Do you ever think, try to compare what the experience was that you and your men had and the kind of experience that people in the armed forces these days have?
Not really. They're doing their job that they have to do now. We did our job then, what we had to do. So I'm just proud of I'm proud about anybody that serves our country. That's all.
Absolutely.
No question. Hey, Rich, I mean, you were highly decorated. I mean, you got a Silver Star, which is, they don't just hand out Silver Stars. Oh. But when I talked to you about it, you hardly remember what it was for, right? And you read the whole citation. You're like, I did that? I don't remember that. I mean, that's the way it is in war, right?
Right. But I had a Bronze Star with Valor. It wasn't a Silver Star.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bronze Star with Valor. You're right. I'm sorry. Yep.
Yeah. And I don't really talk about that much. So I that particular day, I had captured an officer. And in the tall grass, I was on point again, and I felt something wasn't right. And I looked down, and I seen this guy hiding, and I captured him. So that later that day, we got ambushed, and we had a helicopter shot down in front of us. And my sergeant told us to get online, and we charged this little hill, and he got shot dead right next to me. And I dragged him back, and we ran around back, and I really don't want to get into the whole all of it.
Yep. It's a lot. It's hard to talk about, isn't it? Sometimes,
right.
I mean, these are just horrendous experiences that you guys had to go through, and I think we've all heard the stories. Well, you know, even somebody in your own family, they never talked about it. And then at some point. Like you're doing right now, at some point you kind of open up a little bit and talk about, but how hard is it? Is it just because you have blocked away those memories in a part of your brain and because it wasn't a great experience, obviously, so you lock that away? At what point do you do you start to say, you know, now I think I can sort of tell people what it was like?
I don't think you ever can. It's too emotional yet for me. Anyway, I struggle with it yet.
Rich, talk about what it was like. You know, I still think one of the saddest stories is you're at Great Lakes, you're recovering, you're still wounded, still a lot of just banged up, and you just wanted to get home, you wanted to get out of there, and they gave you a pass, and you literally went out and hitchhiked on the highway outside of Chicago in the middle of winter, and just your thing. Tell me about what that was like.
Well, I went in front of a board, and they decided that I wasn't going to be in the Marines anymore, and I really didn't want to get out of them. I wanted to stay in the Marines, make a career out of it, but they decided that wasn't going to happen for me, so they medically discharged me. So I just went out, got on the highway with my uniform on, and started hitchhiking. It was a snowstorm that day, and luckily, a guy picked me up in a van, and he told me, he said, "Why are you hitchhiking out here?" He said, "You know, people around here, they don't really like you, you know." But I said, I didn't care. I said, I was already dead once. Doesn't matter. So he drove me to Milwaukee, and instead of dropping me off on the north side or the south side of Milwaukee, he brought me to the north side, and he gave me a quilt to put on, and he said, good luck to me. And that's all I can remember. I don't remember getting home or how I got home from there. So I did get to Iron Mountain, and then after that, I don't remember anything. So, yeah, it was quite the experience.
You you mentioned that the guy said, you know, people don't really like you around here. That's an experience that I hope never happens again, where, you know, our fighting
men... The Vietnam vets are making sure of that.
Yeah, our fighting men and women, you know, they're over there doing it. Then you come back, and you're vilified because they think you were baby killers, and you were, all that stuff was thrown at you. And here you were just serving your country. It's got to be at least heartening that that most of the folks in the military don't have to deal with that anymore. We kind of figured that out, I hope.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, the sad thing about war is that, you know, you come back and you're really not the same person. And until you figure it out, it's tough.
And there wasn't a lot of help for you guys back then either, was there? We didn't really understand PTSD and things like that like we do now.
I don't think they even had the term.
Probably not, yeah.
No, no. So, but I mean, I'm lucky. I'm blessed too. I got to look at it that way. I luckily for me, I think what helped keep me alive is I found a woman that I loved and spent 50 years with her.
That's awesome.
And, you know, 11 grandchildren after that. And oh, yes, I'm three children of my own.
How much do the grandkids know about what grandpa did and his heroism in Vietnam?
Well, they're knowing a lot now.
I'll bet.
They're all listening, I think.
Probably, kids?
It probably didn't hurt that you married the hottest girl in Nagani, or maybe even the UP.
Oh, but I still remember that time you came to the house and you tricked me about making a drink or something, and you both were over there laughing at me. What was that all about again?
I don't even remember.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what, Rich is on the cover of my book, him and his squad, or three guys from his squad. And, boy, we had some heart-to-heart talks and some tears and some beers and stuff, haven't we, Rich?
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah.
Rich, can you stick around? We'd like to have you on for another segment. We're going to send it to a quick break, and we're going to have you on for another segment. Is that okay?
All right.
And by the way, when Len was talking about, you know, the reception, you handled it pretty well if people gave you a hard time about being in Vietnam and you came home, right? I was just talking about the time at Tino's bar.
Oh.
Rich Kharkey is our guest, Vietnam veteran on Vietnam Veterans Day. If you know a Vietnam vet, thank them for their service today. Thank them every day, but today especially.
Absolutely. Rich, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more when we come back. Okay, buddy?
All right.
Thanks,
all
brother. Right. Happy Vietnam Veterans Day. Everybody back right after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Minor and the Mayor, Len Nelson, filling in with us today. We've got Dennis from the Glam Band and the whole gang coming up in a minute. But first, it's still Vietnam Veterans Day with Rich Karki, great friend of mine, an incredible Vietnam veteran, decorated Vietnam veteran, wounded Vietnam veteran, and a very proud Vietnam veteran who does a great job representing his brothers.
Rich, you are from the UP, and you get dropped off in Vietnam, and suddenly you're with a bunch of guys that you don't really know. They're from everywhere, all walks of life, all ethnicities. And it's in the 60s. So there's a lot going on in the world at that time. And I'm sure that you guys were all aware of that. How hard was it, or was it easy for a group of such disparate personalities from disparate places to come together as a unit to get the job done? Obviously you guys have some camaraderie because you're all in the same situation, but it must have been, for a guy from the UP, must have been kind of an eye-opening experience meeting all these people with all these different experiences from all these different places.
Well, in Vietnam, it was kind of like strange because when I got dropped off the helicopter, I went to these, there was like three or four guys there, and they said, okay, this is your fire team. This is guys you're going to be with. And, you know, there was, all you were told to do is do what you're told. You kept your mouth shut, and you just wanted to stay alive. And they respected you because they were salty dogs, and you were just a new guy on the block. So you did what they told you to do.
How about if you had, let's say, dysentery? Did they let you go to the back and just kind of relax for a while?
Oh yeah, you could take the day off. Yeah.
Tell that story, Rich. When you said, they're gonna smell me.
Well, I was, you know, they tell you gotta go out on, tonight was your turn to go out on ambush. Well, I had gone on several ambushes, like extra ambushes, and they were telling me that I had to go out, and I told the lieutenant, I said, I can't go out. I said, I have dysentery so bad, it's running down my legs, you know? And he said, no, you're going out anyway. And, that was a bad time because now I'm not liking him too much anymore. So I did go out and spent the night out in the bush. It was, that particular night, we ran into like 125 NVA. We didn't make contact, but there was only eight of us, so it wouldn't have been good for us.
Hey, Rich, I got a text here from a buddy of mine, Dave. He says, thank you so much for talking about Vietnam with your guest this morning. Far too many of these guys continue to fight battles long after the war is over. May God bless all of our vets, and please pass along my thanks to him for having the courage to talk about his experiences. My wife's dad was a Marine in Nam, wounded in action, and died by suicide when she was only 10 years old.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm a little emotional right now because my family's been texting me too, so. But it's all good.
Well, you're a great representative of the Vietnam vets, and I really truly mean that, Rich. And You know, I mean, you did the whole gamut. You join the Marines on your own. You go into a tough war. You get highly decorated. You get severely wounded. You know, you do the whole thing. You come back. And I know, and I had wonderful talks with your incredibly gorgeous, wonderful wife, Karen, about how you didn't talk about it a lot, but she knew what you were going through at night because she'd have to vacuum the hair that you would lose during the night off the pillow every morning. And you didn't even know that was happening, right, Rich?
No, I didn't understand any of it, what was going on. It was like my hair was falling out. Luckily, she stuck with me. She took me through the bad times. And so I stuck with her through her time, too. So
yeah. Well, it's great to know that, you know, dealing with all the stuff that you guys did when you came back, that you can get through it and that there's people there. If you're lucky enough to have a support system like you did with Karen, and so there is hope, and we hope that anybody who is struggling
that
out
is
there
such
get
a
out
key.
There and find a resource, talk to someone, and if you're the person they're talking to, you go find a resource for them, make sure that they get what they need, because it's been a long time.
You're
100? We're talking 60s and 70s, but still those thoughts are still lingering.
You're 100% correct, Glenn. And, Rich, you admitted you didn't know you had a problem until one of the Vietnam vets sat you down and said, hey, you're bleeped up. And you're like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're bleeped up. And that was like an eye-opener for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. My buddy Donnie Haru, we would get together and we'd have these little sessions, a bunch of us. And we were sitting around one day, and I won't use the word to you.
Thank you.
Bleeped is a good word.
He said, hey, Rich, he said, you know, you are...
bleeped up.
You're blanked up. I said, I looked at him. I said, you're telling me I'm blanked up. I said, you're the one that got the problem, not me. And then from that point on, I started getting some help. And I guess I did. You know, the thing about Vietnam is when I walked point, I came home and I was still walking point in the 90s. I could take you anywhere in Vietnam in my mind. And I always told my wife, I wish I could use that for education wise. I'd be a brainiac, but
yeah.
But
Rich, one last thing. I know a lot of Iraq and Afghanistan vets that are battling. Give me a little word of advice if they're listening. Please give us some advice.
Hello.
Oh, we lose the thing. We lose the connection. You still there, Rich?
I lost.
Oh, you still there, buddy? Hello, are you there?
I don't think
no,
you can
okay.
hear us.
Yep. Okay.
Well, that was a wonderful conversation.
Yes, we're going to break it. Yeah, set it up. Rich Karki, Vietnam vet from Nagani.
A lot of admiration for those guys.
All the admiration in the world. And thank you. I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart for sharing some of these stories, because it's not easy. You can hear it in his voice. It's still there. Vietnam is still there. And there are so many guys that it's still there. And today is Vietnam Veterans Day. If you've got a Vietnam vet as a friend or family member, please make sure you honor them on this day, because it took a lot of years for them to get the accolades they deserve.
No doubt about it.
So there you go. Thank you very much, Rich, and to all the Vietnam veterans out there. All right, when we come back, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. Christy, Dennis Peters, Big Eric is in. I'm just going to call him Big Eric from now on. And we got Ed the Diver here. About something else we got to talk about. About a Barbie doll that they found that's worth like $1,300?
I'm intrigued
did you see
by
it?
This.
Yes.
I don't know what this is all about.
Don't either. I don't know if they're lying to us or pulling their legs, so we're going to find out. You know, when I'm a diver, I'm going to take away your job because I'm going to learn how to swim. Thanks a lot. Wait,
that'd be a good start.
Yeah, back after this. Nice to know you care.
These days, there's so much going on. No one seems to want to know.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Thank you. No matter our background, race, or zip code, all Wisconsinites want elected officials who will champion our rights, hear our voice, and fight to improve our beautiful state. On April 2nd, vote for local officials, judges, and the presidential nominee who best fits your values. Visit vote411.org to learn about the candidates and questions that will be on your ballot. So let's come together and voice our vote on April 2nd to create a better Wisconsin for everyone.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.